With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. We hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We are recording this today on Black Friday to talk some sales. You got any products in mind, Alex, that we're going for? How are you today? How is your Black Friday? Have you gotten any deals yet? Anything you want to let us know here?
For those who watch the YouTube videos, a new webcam has been purchased, but that was purchased on Wednesday, I believe, when the sales started. So that's good news for this podcast. And just generally looking at my face, which is already tough enough as it is. So seeing it not flickering will be very exciting. Black Friday sales, I mean, not really else. The Giants are offering discounted tickets. You know,
makes sense.
But yeah, that's about it. I mean, not that I'm going to be purchasing any tickets because I'm not going to pay money to John Mara's little pockets so I can see his terrible, pathetic team play. So yeah, I will be sitting on my TV watching instead and wasting my time doing a podcast solely about his stupid team.
Alex, I would say right now the Giants tickets should be 50% off for Black Friday because I feel like I'm only seeing 50% of effort from this team.
I would say it should be less, actually. I think it should be like 2 hours. I mean, 2%. Like 2% of the actual price. Because that's the amount of effort I'm seeing.
Right. And how good this coaching staff is that we already have a coach fired.
Great timeouts. Oh, God.
What if you get, you know how we did sound clip last time or like two episodes ago? That was, by the way, like the 1 minute news.
Oh yeah. That was
that you couldn't cut down for some reason.
I was trying to cut it, but then it was like it just became awkward and like it cut off like very like weirdly. So I was like, you know, we're just gonna keep it in. Everyone could just chill. I mean, people could take a little break from us, you know, here. And also that was Talking Blues, I believe, not this podcast, if I'm pretty
Oh yeah,
sure
it was.
It. Yeah. So yeah, go check Talking Blues if you love a minute of news music.
But I was just gonna say for one of our jokes you should put the like Yeah,
I didn't do it. Yeah. Well, our jokes aren't funny enough for that, to be honest.
No, I mean, you're going to have to. But crack a joke right now.
No, I can't. You can't just do that
on the spot.
Joe Judge is a good coach. Well, I was supposed to add it in there, right?
Well, yeah, you just did.
Well, yeah, now I just did it myself anyway.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed we hope you enjoyed that sound clip of, you know, Alex making a great joke there.
Yeah. All right, let's get into things that people actually care about.
Yes, the New York Giants. That's what people care about, right? Or am I
kind
just,
of maybe depends?
Right, it depends who you ask. I care about the New York Giants,
and it's really tough to care about them. But yes, I do too.
So the Giants are playing a game on Sunday at 1 o'clock in their home of MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And they're honoring a very special man, The Gap. That's what I call him. No, I'm just kidding. But Michael Strahan, obviously, is getting his Ring of Honor ceremony happening at MetLife Stadium. We already had Eli Manning get inducted, right? And now it's going to be Michael Strahan. I want to make sure I'm doing that, right? It's his Ring of Honor. It's getting inducted into the Giants Ring of Honor. So that is happening on Sunday. Alex, you're a little upset about it, though. It seemed like not upset about him getting inducted, but
what? No, I just like he made some annoying comments on Twitter. That was it. He was like, about time. Like, I was like, okay, calm down. Like, no need to go crazy here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's going to space on his 50th birthday. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but I'm not surprised. That sounds like fun. Is he going with Jeff?
I believe he actually is going with Jeff.
Oh, fun.
Okay. Yeah, take a look at it. The headlines are like out there now.
All right, I'll take a look now. I'll take a look while
you GMA use. Co-anchor Strahan to fly to space on Blue Origin's next space flight. Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, to launch Michael Strahan and five others into space.
Ooh, nice. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't go on one of those space flights yet, especially with Jeff Bezos. I don't know. I feel like he might just like capture me in there and make me start working for Amazon.
Anyway, to get into
Josh is just completely moving on from that joke. He was like,
"Yeah,
no."
Well, I want to get into Michael Strahan's stats a little bit. He was inducted in 2014 into the Hall of Fame as a player, 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All Pro, 1-time Super Bowl champion. He was also a 2001 AP Defensive Player of the Year, and he was also on the Hall of Fame All 2000s team, which is pretty cool to see. In his career, he has 4 interceptions, if you didn't know, for 124 yards, 2 touchdowns as well, 24 forced fumbles, 141.5 sacks, 854 combined tackles, 663 solo tackles, and 131 tackles for loss, as well as 27 QB hits when they started counting the stats for those in 2006, it looks to be. A really great player. Happy to be inducting him into the Ring of Honor.
I would agree. I mean, you know, we were not able to really see him or see him at all, really. When did he retire? Do you know when he retired? I want to say it was like 2000. He was there for the 2007 Super Bowl, obviously. Retirement.
Oh, see, I knew I wanted to look at this.
He retired in 2007.
That's
right after
not even so. Alex, they inducted him already into the Giants Ring of Honor in 2010. They're retiring his number.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that was stupid by me because I felt like I was like, really, he's not in the Ring of Honor already?
Yeah, I kind of remember we were at the stadium seeing his name, but yeah, so they're retiring his number. So I don't think any Giants wear his number currently anyway.
He'll be the 12th to be retired in franchise history and the 2nd in 2021, obviously behind Eli Manning. But that was also, they retired his number, but also he was put into the Ring of Honor than Eli. But
did they retire Eli's number?
Yeah.
Or was it just the Ring of Honor? I thought it was just the Ring of Honor.
The Giants are inducting Eli Manning into the, this was an article written before it. So okay. The Giants inducted, I'll say, Eli Manning into the Ring of Honor on September 26th and officially moved his number 10 from circulation.
Okay, so they did do that.
Yeah. So they just kind of knocked out 2-1. Michael Strahan had his Ring of Honor in 2010. Now he's getting the second half of that with his number being retired. So that's why he's being inducted. Not inducted. That's why he's being recognized on Sunday. Anyway, we have a lot of bullet points, so we should start moving a little bit faster here.
All right. So next we got, who's the play caller? Josh, who's the play caller? Do you know? Or are we just not going to know?
You know, Alex, I mean, we know, I would, okay, let me take a deep breath here. Just took a sip of water. I would say that it's not going to be Joe Judge. And for some reason, right, the press got news that
I mean, Joe Judge calls plays, we might as well not even turn on the TV, to be honest. So let's hope not.
I understand that Joe Judge is trying to keep it secret, right? Although I don't know, like, why? I don't know what advantage he thinks he's getting with not saying who's going to call the plays. Like, what way does he feel in his mind, oh, yeah, I'm going to get really in the system? And I guess, you know, Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles heading into this game, was questioned on this and said, yeah, this is not going to affect my planning in any way. You know, we'll be fine. Because it's not like it's a different playbook. It's just who's going to be calling the plays. But what I was going to say, Alex, was that once Jason Garrett was fired, the press got word from whatever sources they found that Freddie Kitchens was going to be the one who steps up and calls plays for the New York Giants.
I think that's who it'll be. I don't know why they're not saying it. I think it's pretty obvious it's going to be him.
Because it's not going to be Joe Judge. There's no way it's going to be Joe Judge calling plays. So I think the interim offensive coordinator for right now is going to be Kevin Stefanski. I wish it was Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach. I just have Browns head coaches in my mind. I think it's going to be Freddie Kitchens. Sorry.
So. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any discussion about it. He's just making it into a thing when it's really not a thing. Really, is that it? That's it.
Moving on to injury news, we had Logan Ryan get called on by Joe Judge today in his press conference, stating that he most likely will not be available for this game on Sunday. And at that point, Alex, I know this is your thing. Would you like to do the injury reports for both teams?
Yes, I do love the injury reports. Let's start with our favorite New York Giants.
And we're recording this on Friday, having the info for only Thursday's practices. So we only know that Logan Ryan right now is most likely going to be unavailable. We also know just two other things, that on the Eagles side, Jordan Howard's officially been out. That was confirmed by Sirianni today. So Howard's out. And then also Darius Slay has been taken off concussion protocol, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and also for the Giants, it seems like Kadarius Toney, Caden Smith, Kyle Rudolph, and Sterling Shepard all are not out on the practice field today per Dan Duggan. So it looks like they will be very unlikely to play as well. We just got that in a few minutes ago. And Colin Gillespie also looks unlikely to play. Anyway, here's the injury report. Nate Ebner, knee, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Colin Gillespie did not practice Wednesday, Alex, or Thursday. Yes.
Nate Ebner got added to the IR. So.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I just saw that now. Actually, I saw it pop up on the thingy. So yeah, I for some reason I read knee and then didn't read the IR thing. Anyway.
Read the next bullet point down. On our little.
Oh yeah. I didn't look that far down. What do you think? I looked down.
So the New York Giants actually on Wednesday placed special teamer Nate Ebner on the injury reserve, the IR, and signed tight end Chris
Myrick
to the 53-man roster. He is 26 years old and has appeared in 4 games for the Giants this season, and he's played 21 offensive snaps over that time. I could not point out when he's been on the field. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not a true Giants fan, but he played in 3 games last season for the Miami Dolphins, and he has been signed to the 53-man roster, while Ebner has been placed due to the knee injury on the IR, meaning he will miss the next 3 weeks. Alex, sorry, continue with your injury report.
The did not practices for Wednesday and Thursday, Colin Gillespie with a calf, Kyle Rudolph with an ankle, Sterling Shepard quad, Caden Smith knee, and Kadarius Toney quad as well. For our limited practice guys on Wednesday and Thursday, we got Saquon Barkley with the ankle, Lorenzo Carter with an ankle, Adoree Jackson with the quad, and John Ross with the quad. Going to the Eagles now for our did not practices. I'm kind of like looking at the practice report here, and they have a few mixes here of limited practice, did not practice, limited, so I can't say it as easily, but I'll just go player by player. Sean Bradley, linebacker, neck. Limited practice both days. Fletcher Cox, rest, did not practice on Wednesday, full practice on Thursday. Jordan Howard, obviously Josh just mentioned that, so I won't say that again. Lane Johnson, tackle, rest, limited practice Wednesday, full practice Thursday. Jason Kelce, center, rest, limited practice Wednesday, full practice Thursday. Darius Slay, concussion protocol, like Josh mentioned, it looks like he's off that now. Josh Sweat, defensive end, knee, limited practice both days. And Tay Gowan, corner, quad, full practice on Wednesday and limited practice on Thursday. So that's your injury report for this game. And yeah, let's move it on to some more Jason Garrett related topics. I guess we'll go to the Dez Bryant comments on Jason
best
Garrett.
Best friend Dez Bryant.
Love Dez Bryant. Josh, what did he have to say?
Well, Dez Bryant decided to use his Twitter fingers to get out there on social media and actually tweet out saying, after hearing the news about JG, meaning Jason Garrett and his initials there, Kadarius Toney, you will get to experience the love and joy. Had to capitalize the J there. I don't know why, but lowercase the L in love. Is that a thing, Alex, that I don't know about?
Nope, it's not. It's just incorrect grammar. Continue.
All right. Anyway, continuing. Kadarius Toney, you will get to experience the love and joy for football throughout your career. So I guess throwing some shots there at, Dez Bryant throwing some shots there at his former head coach, Jason Garrett. Now, you would think I would be seeing Kenny Galladay's name there. Now, maybe a different story. It looks like Dez Bryant hasn't really watched all the Giants games, because when Jason Garrett was actually still the offensive coordinator of the Giants, now I know we haven't seen the most of Kadarius Toney, but when Jason Garrett was still the offensive coordinator of the Giants, which included the game on Monday Night Football, which led to him being fired, Kadarius Toney was actually the most targeted player with 7 receptions. So I don't know what Bryant's watching. I mean, it still makes sense. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, good for Dez Bryant, our best friend. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Next, we have, will Daniel Jones prove that it was Jason Garrett's fault all along? I just stole it from you. Sorry about that.
I actually have more on the Dez Bryant situation. CBS Sports reached out to him and wrote an article, and he said, quote, he never respected his philosophy, meaning Bryant to Garrett. Garrett never respected Dez Bryant's philosophy. So,
well, I don't think Dez Bryant's philosophy was exactly important considering he was a player, but anyway, I'm not going to.
He's not in the league anymore. We don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, he's not important. Anyway, will Daniel Jones prove that it was Jason Garrett's fault all along? Mix of yes and no. I don't necessarily think that Jason Garrett was the, 100% of the problem for Daniel Jones. I said it's probably half and half. Daniel Jones not playing well was half on him and half on Jason Garrett. I think that's probably the easiest way to put it. Daniel Jones, some of the reads he made, despite maybe not the routes not really coming together, or three of the wide receivers banging right into each other like we saw against the Buccaneers, maybe they're not great, but still Daniel Jones has to do a better job reading the play. It's a mix, right? Obviously, Daniel Jones wouldn't have to make some of the bad reads he does if the routes were better and the offense was better structured. But that's my take on it.
No, Alex, I would agree with you. I think I do put some blame on Jason Garrett, although the throws that Daniel Jones has had in his career throughout last season and this season with the bad reads when it comes to interceptions, they're odd. We haven't seen it for a little bit, but we saw it again on Monday, so that's something that needs to be fixed. At that point, like I said already, Jason Garrett was the offensive coordinator of the Giants at that point, so we'll have to see if it was his fault. But it's been more Daniel Jones and his struggles, not so much with interceptions, but with fumbling. We've still seen it a bit this season. It hasn't been as bad as prior in his career, but it's definitely been an issue, and that's not Jason Garrett's fault. So when it comes to passing, when Daniel Jones is on the money, Alex, we have to agree that he's on the money, right? He has thrown some pinpoint passes this season, and they've looked very good. Whether it's the one deep ball, that we saw to, John Ross in the New Orleans Saints game, or the, few slant passes or whatever it is to Kenny Galladay that we see maybe once a game. They've been pinpoint, very nice passes, some to Evan Engram as well. So I guess we'll have to see what happens in the future. But to answer the question, I would pin it more on Jason Garrett than Daniel Jones. That's just me trying to defend my quarterback as much as I can. As you know, Alex, my opinions are not so mixed on Daniel Jones. I actually blame him more than I like him. So, you know, that's an interesting answer coming from me, but I try to hope the best. The next question for us is, without Jason Garrett, will the Giants prioritize throwing to Kenny Golladay? I put this in because we never threw to Kenny Golladay. Like, we never really targeted him. Under Garrett, it was like 3 or 4 receptions a game, except that one time that he had over 100-something yards, but I think that was only on 4 or 5 catches, so it wasn't really that many. I want to say yes. I want to hope yes. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to state it. I don't know what's in the Giants playbook. I don't know what what Freddie Kitchens or Joe Judge thinks of Kenny Golladay and if they should target him, but I would hope so. I would hope he gets more involved in the playbook. Alex?
I think he will as the season goes on, but I think these next 2 weeks, if you look at the matchups for Kenny Golladay, obviously he's going to have Darius Slay most likely on him this weekend against the Eagles, and then probably the following week you'll have Xavien Howard on him. So two of the top corners in the league. I don't think you're going to see many targets just for the fact that I don't think he's going to get open much, and it's going to be tough to win those contested balls against two of those corners who are probably top 5 in defending contested catches. So I think it's going to be tough for Kenny Golladay to get involved in these next couple weeks. So it'll be important that some of these other wide receivers get more involved. Obviously, Kadarius Toney being out this week, really, if he is out this week, is not going to be good for the Giants because, you know, we're going to need that number 2 guy to step up, whether that is Slayton or someone like Shepard, who also looks like he's going to be out. So Slayton's really going to have to step up because Darius Slay is very good. Some of the other Eagles corners are somewhat questionable at certain points.
Okay, I can go on to the next point. Basically, it was Joe Judge saying that Daniel Jones started wearing a wristband with some plays this week. Excuse me, during practices. Said it's something that may help, something they felt may help this week, but they wouldn't specify why. Is Daniel Jones forgetting the playbook himself?
No, I think it's just there's probably some new plays would be my guess that are in there and he's going to need to remember them for this weekend would be my guess.
They're just going deep throw, deep throw, deep throw, right? That's definitely what's
Yeah, I think happen. It's all one-on-one Kenny Golladay, you know? I think that's what it is, but no, I doubt it. I think it's just there's probably a few new plays in there that he's just not going to be able to be ready to memorize without the sheet on his wrist.
We're going to be pulling out some really advanced stuff, some trickery.
Yeah, I don't think it's because of that. Let's just say.
Once Jason Garrett's gone, it's crazy. We're going to be doing some diverse, unbelievable things.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
CBS Sports also wrote an article about the Giants should be interested in Russell Wilson with as many picks as they have. Alex, it's not happening. It's not happening. I've seen his name pop up here and there for the Giants to target, but there's absolutely no way in my mind that Russell Wilson will ever become a Giant in his career. And whoever wants to pull that up as a sound clip in a year from now can very well do so because it's not happening.
I mean, as you know, Russell Wilson is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. So it's not like I wouldn't invite it in. I would say it's interesting, right? Because this team is developed enough that if we can fix the offensive line and a bit of the edge in free agency in the offseason, you know, offensive line and fix the defensive line, you know, this team could be decent, right? And obviously all that's missing there is just a very high quality quarterback. And I think Russell Wilson is that player, right? He's a high quality quarterback. It depends what you'd have to give up for him. I don't think it's happening because I think somewhere like I'm thinking the Broncos would be amazing for Russell Wilson because he could transform a team like that with an amazing defense already and, you know, a solid offense with, you know, Teddy's an average quarterback. And I think he could really transform that offense into a much better team. But I think he's going to get traded. I do agree with CBS on that, but I don't think it's going to be to the Giants. I would be happy if it was to the Giants, depending on the package. I mean, I don't know what you'd have to give up for him. Would it be one at his age? I don't think it would be too first round picks. But, you know, if we could get rid of one of the first round picks for him, I would do that. But I don't know. I'm not really set on that. And also, I don't know why Seattle would do it this year, especially with the quarterback class not being great. So I don't think they would do that, but who knows? Going to the next point, PFF names Andrew Thomas a second year breakout player. I think anyone who watches him could tell you that, but yeah, it's good to see that he's getting some national recognition there. And finally, the Giants are going to get their first look this weekend at wide receiver Devontae Smith, who obviously they got jumped on. That sounds weird. They got jumped during the draft for that particular player. That sounds better. Josh, do you have anything else?
Well, speaking about the player of Devontae Smith, he has been good for the team this season, and he was really good for Alabama. He was someone I think we actually, when we went through our whole draft period, Alex, our draft coverage on the YouTube channel, if anyone wants to go back and check those out, we did film reviews, and I think one of them that we did was on Smith, if I'm not mistaken, right? And we
I'm not sure. I don't think we did Smith.
I think we did.
I don't think so, but you know, hey, go check it out anyway. There's other good content.
We definitely talked about him a lot.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So I guess the receiver we could have ended up with if the Eagles didn't jump in front of us to grab him. So
I'm happy with the decision, to be honest. I'm more bummed that we missed out on Micah Parsons, if we're being completely honest with ourselves. Right.
And of course he went to the Cowboys, and he's an absolute stud.
Right after us too, by the way, the pick right after where we were.
And Kadarius Toney is what we've seen, but with Dez Bryant's permission now, he'll be one of the best in the league, so it's all good.
But also, what I would say is, depending on where this Bears pick is, it'll probably still be worth it with the whole missing out on Micah Parsons. But you know, we'll have to see what kind of player we get. If we can get someone with that pick, such as a Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, who I think is very good, you know, on the edge or a defensive end there, then I think it would be worth it. But otherwise, you know, it's going to be very tough to miss out on Micah Parsons, especially if we don't hit with that Bears pick.
What do you want to do first? Do you want to do our NFL picks for the rest of the week? Because I do want to talk about these Thanksgiving games with you.
Let's do our NFL picks for the rest of the week, talk about Thanksgiving, and then talk about our Giants score prediction next factor situation.
Picks for the rest of the week. All right, so starting off with the Steelers and Bengals, Alex and I double up there with the Bengals pick. Moving on, Panthers-Dolphins. We split. Alex has the Dolphins, I have the Panthers, and I think Cam Newton will step up and make it a game. I'm surprised Alex doesn't go with the man himself, Cam Newton, though. So
I'm loving Tua turn to ball over, so I'm going with him.
Nice. Titans-Patriots is the next matchup there. I think this could be very close, but the Titans, they're a little shaky. We both have the Patriots there. Bill Belichick coming in and souping up that playoff spot. Falcons-Jaguars is the next one. Split there. Jaguars, Alex, I have the Falcons. Buccaneers, Colts, again split. Alex is the Colts, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Really, after they absolutely crush the Giants, you can have the Colts just beating them just like that, Alex?
But the Colts are also not the Giants, so there's a difference.
There is very much a difference, and we split once again here. This could be a very interesting week in the record. Someone could be very right, and someone will be very wrong. I have the Jets, and Alex has the Texans, and I was made fun of for that pick. So, Alex, I will give you the floor to explain why you think so and also take up the rest of the games.
I'm actually a big Tyrod Taylor fan. I'm pretty solid on him, and I think they have a good little core there on offense with some of their wide receiver weapons, especially Brandon Cooks. And I thought defensively they were pretty good against the Titans. So I want to see more of them, and nothing from the Jets really tells me they're going to win a game. Win the game, might not win a game for the rest of the season, but we'll see. Hopefully they do for, you know, Jets fans' sake. Next game we've got the Chargers and the Broncos. We both went Chargers. 49ers, Vikings. I went 49ers, and Josh went with the Vikings. This one's probably the toss-up of the week if it was in my hands there. Maybe followed by the next one here, Rams-Packers. I went Rams, Josh went Packers. This is going to be a really important game for the number one seed race in the NFL in the NFC. Browns, Ravens. We both have Ravens. Washington, Seattle. Speaking of Russell Wilson, I don't usually bet against my man Russell Wilson, but I'm going to go for a Washington win on prime time, and Josh is going to go with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And that is our picks there. And we'll move to our Thanksgiving picks, which we made in Latin, the recap episode. We both went 2-1. We all had the same picks. We both went with the Bears over the Lions, the Cowboys over the Raiders, and the Bills over the Saints. Obviously, we were very right about the Bills over the Saints. The Bears-Lions game turned out to be close. Worst timeout management in history, even worse than the Giants. And Cowboys obviously lost in overtime to the Raiders. Josh, you want to talk a bit about these games?
I was just going to say, I think we can both agree that we're not so upset about going 2-1 if that means the Cowboys lose, especially on prime time on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
We will definitely take it. I saw all the memes about the Bears-Lions game saying, like, the NFL paying us to watch these games.
They want us to talk to our families, you know?
Have us suffer. Seriously. Yeah. I would like to give a huge shout-out, though, to Darnell Mooney, putting on an absolute show with 5 catches for 123 yards. It's about 25 yards a catch. Unbelievable.
Just picked him up in fantasy, too.
Cole Kmet did a few things there, too. Jared Goff actually having his first good game, maybe, in his Lions career. I don't know.
Jared Goff. Jared Goff ball.
Sure. And then moving on to the Raiders' absolute comeback on the Cowboys, or other way around, the Cowboys' absolute comeback on the Raiders, having the game go to overtime. That was a wild game. It was a really fun one to watch. The rest absolutely ruined it, but, you know, it is what it is.
The 50,000 field goals at the end, too, were very interesting, how they had the offsides, like 5 offsides
in a row. Oh, my God. I think however many penalties combined it was in that game was really, 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 really crazy.
Impressive for Daniel Carlson, by the way. Shout out to him for keeping his cool there and still slotting it away after all that. He took like 5 field goals and then made the 6th one or whatever.
Seriously. Both QBs did ball out, though, having almost 400 yards. Around the same point, Carr with 373, Dak with 375. And then receiving, you know, without Amari Cooper and without CeeDee Lamb, Cowboys receivers showed up. They really did. Michael Gallup having 5 catches for 106 yards. And I'm sorry, I know for all the Giants fans listening to this point, you're not going to want to hear me talk all this good about the Dallas Cowboys, but they did. And then Cedric Wilson with 7 catches for 104 yards, almost 15 yards per catch. Pretty freaking good. Pretty freaking good. So just wanted to point that out. Michael Parsons had a sack in this game, Alex, since we were talking about him, thought I would throw his name out there. And then, I mean, is there really much to say besides that the Bills' domination? I mean, the Bills' domination is just...
Trevor Siemian sucks. He sucks. He drops back like 20 yards every time. It's ridiculous. Yeah. He's terrible. My God.
By the end of the first half, you knew the end, I think, end result of this game, honestly. And I think it was only 10-0 at half.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because the Saints' defense came up pretty big many times. Just their offense sucks.
Stephon Diggs with that round the end zone, the cutback. Woof. Wow. Woof. And that was against Marshawn Lattimore, too. That's a good player you're going up against, but Stephon Diggs made him look silly.
About probably the most even trade in the past few years, I would say, is that the first round pick for Stephon Diggs. That the Bills traded to the Vikings, who then took Justin Jefferson. I'm going to say probably the most even trade in a while. You could say, you know, Justin Jefferson's younger, better contract, but in the Bills situation, Stephon Diggs is better player currently. I think that's safe to say. And just has the experience. So I think that's a win-win trade for both teams. So that's something I always like to think about.
Yeah. No, Alex, I think you're right. It might be we would have to kind of like go through all of the trades in our era, but you could say like the best big trade,
right? You know, we're not going to talk about someone trading a nobody player for a 7th round pick, right? I'm sure there was an even one of those too, but
mm-hmm. All right, so let's finish this out, right? We got a game on Sunday, November 28th at 1 o'clock, MetLife Stadium. Giants home, Eagles away. This is for all the marbles of the NFC East. Will the Giants still be in last after this game? I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
Yes,
Eagles
they
looking
will
to
be.
Climb up the ranks in the NFC East, only hoping to be a game back of the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles 5-6, Giants 3-7. Offensive coordinator versus no offensive coordinator. What's it going to be? I'm going to go with a Giants loss. 27-21, Eagles victory. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Did I scare you there with that one?
I'm going to go with, what did you say again? I forgot.
No, it's all right. I just had, I had a second.
I was too busy going, was too busy.
So you're too busy getting scared by my Eagles victory. I'm writing in the thing here so we can actually save it and maybe talk about it in our recap episode. Eagles 27, Giants 21, and that is my final score.
I'm going to go with Eagles. I was about to do this before. I thought you said the same score as me, and I was like, oh, no. But luckily, you didn't. I'm going Eagles 37, Giants 21. And that's going to be my score. I think we're going to get blown out.
I think we could very well get blown out. We had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though, scoring less
The Eagles
points.
Are on fire. The Eagles are on fire.
Eagles can very well be on fire. I don't think they're more on fire than Tom Brady is. That's just my opinion.
I don't know.
Remember, Alex, they lost in October, in the beginning of October, to the Buccaneers 28-22. And you're having them score 7 more points than the Buccaneers, having 37 points.
It's also on game situation, right? The Giants' defense might play worse. Who knows? We don't get turnovers. Like, there's many things that can go into it.
And
it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Last week, Alex, you talked about how bad Trevor Siemian was. Saints got 29. Saints got 29 on the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why I'm just giving my background of why I have the Giants getting 21 in this game. So
there was a lot of garbage time points there too, though, to be fair. But anyway, going to our X factors now.
You're right.
I'm going to go Dallas Goedert. I'm going to go Dallas Goedert. I don't even think I need to explain. Tight ends ruin the Giants. And Dallas Goedert is Jalen Hurts' probably favorite target, maybe tied with Devontae Smith. But obviously we got Brad, like we're besties. Brad Berry on Devontae Smith. So I think it's going to be Dallas Goedert who's going to be his main target. So Dallas Goedert, X Factor. That's who I got.
Dallas Goedert, X Factor. Interesting. Here, while I do my X Factor, Alex, write down your score because maybe we should do this more often so we can mention in the recap how off we were.
I would say I'm going to be off. I don't know whether, because it's with the Giants, you're either blown out loss, blown out win, or no blowout win, close win, or close loss. Like, there's no in between.
Wow.
So
sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yep, it's fun to be a Giants fan. Who's your X Factor, Josh?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the obvious, unfortunately.
God.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Devonta Smith. He's had the most receptions on the team. Kind of obvious. He's also had the most targets by a landslide, Alex. Smith has 74 targets compared to Goddard's 47. So he outdoes everyone there, and he is my X Factor. I was actually thinking of going defense again going Alex Singleton. He's up there when it comes to tackles for the team with 90, and I want to check NFL and see the tackles.
I'm surprised you didn't go with a certain other somebody.
Who?
Who do you think I'm thinking of?
Well, looking down their roster, well, it wouldn't be Jordan.
On offense.
Just yell that out there, jeez. Very loud in my headset, man.
Sorry.
Miles Sanders?
The man, the Giants destroyer, Boston Scott?
Really? Oh, I mean, maybe, right? Oh, my God, no way. I just thought about that now because Howard's out. Oh,
and he also always destroys the Giants.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying now. Especially with Howard out, he'll probably get more touches.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine. Oh,
you messed up there. I was going to say him too, but I was like, I don't want to curse us. Because if I say it, it's going to happen.
That could very well be the case, Alex. I think you have a good thing in your hands there.
That's my backup there. So, when he goes for 10 rushes, 200 yards, you can come back to me.
Singleton is ranked 16th in the league in tackles, it looks like. So,
wannabe Blake Martinez,
right? Wannabe. I don't think he wants to be sitting on his couch during every Giants
game.
That's true.
That's true.
I think you're mistaken there.
Anyway, so I guess that's pretty much it for today's episode.
Right.
Not much more to talk about.
Oh, we got a few things. We got a few things to wrap it up with. We appreciate you listening to this episode again. We really hope you did have a happy Thanksgiving. And you know, if there were the everyday family members, not the everyday family members, the family members you don't see every day, well, guess what? You're lucky enough that you won't have to see them again for a little bit. So that's all exciting. You got one more month or so if you see them again at Christmas. So take in that month while you have it now. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Did you have that interaction, Alex, with the family member? You're like, I don't want to see them again.
Not necessarily on Thanksgiving, really.
Is it more Christmas?
Usually Thanksgiving is with closer people. Sometimes it's Christmas, like Christmas Eve. Sometimes it's just like some sort of family event, like a
birthday.
I don't know, like a birthday. Yeah, sometimes birthdays you see some interesting people. But
we might have to get an update from you then after after Christmas or before Christmas.
Yeah, I would say not necessarily. There's not like a specific day. It's more like, oh my god, you walk into like wherever you're everyone's at, and then it's like, oh,
and
no,
you're like, oh no, this
there.
Person's here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's more like it.
But anyway, we'd hope you give us a 5-star shipitstudios.com/giant take. That is, oh, I said it wrong. Shipitstudios.com.
The Giant Take.
Thank you. That's shipitstudios.com/The Giant Take. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Alex. I'm coughing already. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Giant Take. Drop a like on any of those videos. We're hoping to get more content out. And Alex's webcam, you know, it's on the way. So
It's on the way.
It'll be there hopefully for the recap episode.
Yes.
I think that's everything. So, Alex, close it out.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's preview of the Eagles game, and we'll see you hopefully after a Giants win. I'm not going to say anything else. See you next time.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.